So what do we mean by nourishing the soul? What do we mean by the soul? You might remember I talked about the soul a while ago, and I said, though the soul can feel mysterious, it is something we experience in the depth of being alive. Whether in places of conflict or hardship or comfort or joy or love, we nourish our souls when we are mindful in our lives. Mindful right now, mindful in the present moment. Human beings have always searched for meaning. I myself am not content to believe that life is merely biological. Perhaps you may share my sense that there is something deeper, an essence at the core of who we are. And this essence goes beyond identity or background or achievements. It is the fundamental, unchanging part of ourselves. And many traditions speak of this. In Latin, anima. In Greek, psyche. In Hebrew, nefesh. In Islam, nafs or ruah. And in Irish, anam. All pointing to breath, to life itself. In Confucian thought, this essence is described as qi, a vital energy flowing through all things, connecting the human with nature and the divine. And rather than locating meaning somewhere distant, like God way up there in heaven, this view invites us to be attentive to one another, to society, and to the world around us. In this sense, the soul is not separate. It is relationship. It is expressed in empathy, in connection, and in love. Now, different traditions understand this soul differently. Christianity often sees it as eternal and life-giving. Buddhism challenges the idea of a permanent self, teaching that attachment to it can lead to suffering. Yet both point us inward to the state of our hearts and minds as the source of peace or the source of unrest. We are physical entities, our lives are intensely physical, but we are people with passions, with emotions, with talents. Unitarians celebrate our freedom. We are free spirits, they say, not tied to any creeds or dogmas. And this we have chosen. We do not contract out the development of our spiritual lives to one teacher, one priest, one institution, or indeed one book. I have a fundamental need to find meaning and purpose in my life, to connect to that deeper part of myself. And I think that's nourishing the soul. There's stuff we need to talk about and explore in greater depth. And I really do hope we get the chance to do that at gatherings like this, our Sunday gathering. Now, we often hear people describe themselves as spiritual rather than religious. And I think Andrei Sakharov, the Soviet physicist and human rights campaigner, spoke in a very interesting way to this idea. He said, "I am unable to imagine the universe and human life without some guiding principle, without a source of spiritual warmth, which is non-material and not bound by physical laws." He's sounding very much like Einstein, who often discussed a cosmic religious feeling. Now, Sakharov in his early life was instrumental in developing the Soviet hydrogen bomb, but he became one of his generation's most prominent dissidents and human rights campaigner. And he didn't say, I believe in a universal guiding principle. He said, I am unable to imagine a world without one. Sakharov's worldview was rooted in scientific inquiry, high moral principles, and a belief in the power of human reason and spirit. Sakharov was an atheist who did not believe in a personal God or traditional religion, but he held deeply philosophical, almost spiritual beliefs in that guiding principle governing the universe, spiritual warmth. Nourishing the soul means taking in your experience of your humanity, love, fear, grief, joy. It has to do with reflecting on those experiences. It has to do with deepening our spiritual practice to the end that we deepen our connections to each other, to the created world, and perhaps to that which we believe divine or sacred. Our physicality, with all its challenges, disabilities, bits not working properly, bits that seem broken and hopefully healing, needing medication and a good diet, is the holder of our souls. It is through our bodies that we experience the beauty and compassion of the world. It is through our bodies that we bless the world with love. It is through our bodies that we give and receive grace and goodness. So may our bodies be blessed, known deeply in our souls. But if our lives are marked with suffering, ongoing suffering, how is it with our souls then? When I last spoke about the soul, I referenced Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Now, he held that the ability to flourish depends first on meeting basic needs: food, safety, belonging, and dignity. Without these, the soul is strained. War, poverty, inequality are not only physical crises, they are soul-destroying. And nothing threatens freedom of the personality and the meaning of life like war, like poverty and terror. Nourishing the soul, therefore, is not only personal, it is communal. It requires a commitment to justice, to compassion, and to care for one another. We thrive in connection, not isolation. Communities, families, and social support help restore what is broken and enable people to grow to their full potential. And ultimately, the soul may be expressed in our longing for beauty, for truth, and for love. It is revealed in compassion for people, for nature, for life itself. And to nourish the soul is to care for the whole person and build a world where every person can flourish. We are here today at our core a spiritual community, and engaging in spiritual practice nourishes the soul. I think it's worth repeating the definition I offered for spirituality. It is to examine, shape, and care for your life and the life around you. And we do this in order to achieve more wholeness, satisfaction, depth, and meaning. And as you examine, shape, or care for your life, you are engaging in spiritual practice. You are nourishing your soul. We look within to care without. We love within to offer love without, and we treat within as we treat without. But how do we know if our souls are in trouble? What risky behavior do we engage in? And do we know what risks the health of our souls? Perhaps it is a daily cycle of disbelief, disassociation, and helplessness which grinds down the health of our souls. We open up our phones, our tablets, or newspapers in the morning, only to read what seems like an apocalypse. Then just go to work, put on the kettle, feed the dog, do the kids' lunches, get on with the day. Then that evening you check if the world is still hurtling towards its end. Every morning I check in with myself before opening those papers. I acknowledge how I'm feeling, well rested or otherwise. Remember all that is good in my life, thankful for that. Smile for a moment. Take a deep breath and face the day with the belief that there are blessings to be had and to be given. I do put my faith in something beyond myself. I know that I am blessed to be part of something greater than me, be it my family, the community, and this universe. And when tragedy and grief visit me, I will struggle and question, what will I do now? And I trust that I will not be left alone with that question, that there will be others who will hold me lovingly. There is birth. There is death. We are in the in-between. May we seek to reduce all that causes us stress, understanding that life is an ebb and flow, a cycle of growth and becoming, and constant change. Nothing ever remains the same, yet nothing is really lost. So let us daily commit to life, letting the deepest part of ourselves, our souls, grow. I leave you now with a question. And put yourself in one of these situations. You're at home, by the fire, not today, reading a great book, or waiting for chocolate chip cookies to finish baking in the oven, or you're planting seeds in a pot, getting ready for May. All the time you're halfway through listening to some beautiful music. Your phone buzzes and disturbs your peace. It's an urgent message. The Messiah, or the one who will have an answer to all of your ultimate questions, has come and will appear on the main street to meet the people in a few minutes. What will you do? Will I finish this address? Will you finish the chapter of that great book you're reading? Will you wait for the cookies to finish baking? Will you finish planting the seeds in the pot, all the while waiting for that beautiful piece of music to play its final note? Or will you drop everything and head out to meet this Messiah? So as you gather your thoughts, please turn to your neighbor and tell them what you would do before we sing our next hymn. So now that we have maybe made a decision, I would certainly finish my address, which I have done. So let us sing now hymn number 301, Touch the Earth, Reach the Sky, after which we will have the collection.